Welcome to Verified Rx, your prescription for success. Brought to you by the Vizient Center for Pharmacy Practice Excellence.
The incredible staying power of drug shortages kicks the door open for full-time pharmacy roles designed to combat this issue. Dr. Austin Pitlawani, clinical pharmacist specialist in drug shortage management at Michigan Medicine, joins us today to explain his title and why his role is so necessary. Vizient's own Kyle Holting, senior clinical manager of drug shortages and drug information, will share his perspective as well. I'm Gretchen Brubble, pharmacy executive director in the Vizient Center for Pharmacy Practice Excellence and your program host. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us back.
Well, our listeners know Kyle well. So Austin, tell me about your current role, your background, and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, of course. I'm a clinical pharmacist specialist specializing in drug shortage management. I lead our shortage team and oversee shortage management for the entire U of M enterprise, which includes inpatient, outpatient, specialty, and two new partner sites, Sparrow and UMH West. I completed my PharmD at the University of Michigan, completed my PGY1 residency at Trinity Ann Arbor, worked in crit care, internal medicine at Beaumont. I was looking for a new challenge in pharmacy that was something a little bit outside the typical frontline clinical work. When I saw this job, I went after it. I did wrestle with it because my initial thought, ironically, was what if shortages go away? We are coming out of COVID and supply chain could stabilize and then I'm out of a job. Very happy I got the position and here we are. Shortages are getting worse and worse. So leap of faith turned out okay. And as a quick disclaimer, I just wanted to say, so anything that I say are my own opinions and they don't reflect the opinions of Michigan Medicine in any way.
Quite the robust background to prepare you for this role. What was behind Michigan Medicine creating this position?
U of M was ahead of the curve. They ended up creating this position in 2009, 8 years after drug shortages started being tracked nationally. And up until that time, Michigan was managing drug shortages pretty similarly to how most hospitals manage shortages now, which is find out about the shortage from a pharmacy buyer when it's unavailable. You have a few days supply on hand. Discuss drug shortages during the daily management huddle, which was starting to occupy more and more of that time, and then quickly try to figure out a solution, especially if it's before the weekend and just trying to bridge that Saturday-Sunday gap. The goal was to get a drug shortage pharmacist and have that position bring stability to that process. Have someone for early recognition of the shortage, to bring in all key stakeholders, to collaborate for an appropriate mitigation strategy, and then coordinate that strategy's rollout.
I can see that stabilization being helpful, especially in the current situation that we have going on here. What is the overall impact of drug shortages right now?
Very loaded question. Overall, negative. But the impact of shortages, it's similar to lines of therapy, depending on how bad the shortage in question is and if the treatment line before it failed. Labor is always there. That's first line. Inventory and financial strains are second. Stress and burnout for staff is third. And finally, you have risk to patient safety, which is what all shortage strategies try to avoid, or at the very least, mitigate as much as possible. That illustrates the importance of taking a proactive approach to shortage management versus reactive. Because if you can contain a shortage with a first line therapy like shortage management labor, then that saves the rest of your healthcare staff from the negative effects, and most importantly, the patients. I guess I can go through all of the lines of impact and then what we can do to really shield ourselves from shortages. First line impact is shortage management itself, which is going to be your labor bucket. This is baseline. It's always happening. And no matter if your hospital has a drug shortage team or not, you're always dedicating resources to see what drug is short, how can you procure more, when and how should you roll out a mitigation strategy. And that's dedicated labor hours and money all the time. Second line impact is going to be your inventory and your finances. When you have advance notice of a shortage, you might build your inventory to an ethical cap of, say, 20 to 30 days. But if you're tracking 600 shortages like we are, you don't have the space to have a 30-day supply of everything you think might go on short. You have to evaluate what shortages take priority for that space. If a shortage is caught late, secondary wholesalers can upcharge up to 20 times the baseline cost. Then you have a big financial hit with your inventory. You have the inventory space stressors and also the financial stressors with the second line, but you're at least still blocking third line impact, which is staff stress and burnout. Shortages involve a lot of dispensing changes and alternative therapies. These require communication, education, deviations from standards of practice, all mixed into the already chaotic and demanding shift for a frontline healthcare worker. If we can avoid that, that's definitely ideal. And even their stress can potentially block the fourth line impact, which is patient safety risk. But really, they do go hand in hand because we have a stressed out, burnout staff trying to figure out how to administer an alternative agent, which is an alternative for a reason. It's not as safe or effective as the first line agent. Or worse yet, there's no alternative available for that disease state, and the patient goes without treatment. That fourth line is always what we're trying to avoid. The impacts of drug shortages, they're very broad, but they're also vertically protective of each other. And that's why it's important to dedicate resources to stop a shortage at the first or second level of impact, so that way they don't reach our frontline staff and, more importantly, our patients.
I can imagine with tracking 600 shortages right now that it is definitely impactful in all those buckets that you talked about. Kyle, what's your perspective from a national basis? What are you seeing out there?
I think Austin said it well. I put everything in the four buckets that Austin just touched on: labor, inventory, stress and burnout for staff, and patient safety. ISMP completed a survey in June and July of 2023 and released the results this August. There are around 200 to 300 respondents. For inventory, roughly 90% noted adding backup inventory. That's added cost, often purchasing off-contract items when your contracted items are not available. To add to some of Austin's points, he touched on the big four. A quarter of the facilities 6 months prior to the survey noted an instance where at least one medical or medication error was directly associated with drug shortages. That is highly impactful. It's unfortunate to hear. Roughly a third noted being unable to provide the preferred drug or treatment, and about half reported treatment delays. Everything that Austin touched on, highly impactful, of much importance, but again, focusing on the patient and patient safety, they are directly impacted by the shortages that we're seeing today.
What I'm hearing from you is that the impacts to the patients are real. On that note, Austin, tell me about how your position contributes to improving patient care at Michigan Medicine.
Kyle brought up a lot of good points and data on how these do impact the patient and also the staff. What my team tries as best as we can is to act as a shield between our hospital, namely our patients and our staff, and drug shortages. First, when a shortage hits, my job is to assess the impact and come up with a preliminary solution to present to stakeholders. That can range anywhere from a preferred preparation is off the market, so now we're compounding. Good example coming to mind is 503B facilities. Sometimes they have production delays, so then all of a sudden our clean room staff has a big labor burden for potentially a few days, could last for a month. The other end of the spectrum is something like hydrocortisone, where we were alerted that we're going to have 20% allocation of our typical usage, and we have to quickly come up with a mitigation strategy to where we're going to last on the 20% for 6 months, potentially a year. Those are two different ends of the spectrum, but really what we want to do is come up with a preliminary solution, present that to the stakeholders, so that way we have a jumping off point for discussions. All of the stakeholders come to our weekly drug shortage committee meetings where we discuss upcoming shortages and how we want to handle those. We'll have key stakeholders from all aspects of pharmacy, primarily leadership from infusion, clean room, automation, clinical stakeholders as well. We'll also have physician leadership and nursing leadership just to make sure we have all of the correct opinions and perspectives in place. I'll send communication, coordinate the rollout of that strategy. And then once that strategy is rolled out, I will track the effect of that strategy, see if it's hitting our goal impact, and if we're realizing the usage reduction that we want to see. If we're not, we'll bring it back, we'll tweak it, and then we'll roll out the second phase. We'll keep doing that until we eventually get where we need to be. And that way, we have a mitigation strategy that continues to deliver the correct molecule to the correct patients. For our new direction, though, our shortage team is becoming more and more focused on forecasting and preparing for the shortage before it reaches a tipping point. We track about 600 items with unstable market supply. And once we believe something is reaching that breaking point, we'll either start building our supply to somewhere between 20 to 30 days, just reaching that self-imposed ethical cap And that's because we really don't want to hoard or exacerbate a shortage, especially for hospitals that are near us. We don't want to have a 3-month supply on hand so that all of our patients are taken care of, but then the neighboring hospital's patients' care is in jeopardy. We always make sure that we keep it to less than 30-day supply, and those that do get 30-day supply are limited to less than 10, 20 items out of our entire 4,000-item catalog. So we really make sure that it's items that have very high shortage priority and impact. But the reason that we're taking this new approach is my team firmly believes that the best way to avoid patient impact from shortages is to maintain molecule access. And it sounds way oversimplified, but that's why our team has shifted our model from reaction to forecasting. That way, we don't end up with staff burnout, staff stress, or risk of patient safety.
Your continuous improvement process and your buy-in across the organization has really set you up for success with this process. And it's really encouraging to hear about your proactive approach to protect your patients and your workforce from the impact of this moving forward. Kyle, what are some of the other overall benefits of having an individual or a team dedicated to drug shortages at an organization?
I think you actually just touched on it right there, Gretchen. The gold standard for drug shortages is a proactive approach. Without an individual or a team set up to handle the day-to-day, you're always going to be reactive. And when there are these positions that we're seeing that are coming available, you have a point person who can standardize processes, standardize the communication, and standardize actions across the hospital or health system. There's a lot of uncertainty with drug shortages. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of worry. Having a dedicated person and or team allows for them to take on that burden and allow for direct communication, appropriate action in a timely fashion. Once you've gotten to the point where it sounds like Austin and his team have, where you have the reactive day-to-day issues handled really, really well, you can focus further up the stream. You can focus on your proactive approaches, what sort of forecasting tools are available, what are we seeing seasonality-wise, what are we seeing in the market in general, and then taking steps to mitigate those impacts before they even occur. You need an individual or a team that's highly trained, highly specialized to handle that day-to-day so you can focus on the proactive so that shortages never affect you, your institution, or your patients.
Having that point person be sort of that sense of authority, security, a place of comfort for that individuals can go to know that somebody's taking care of this, making sure that our patients have the medications that they need. So really appreciate the work that both of you are doing in this space. I recently saw a drug shortage stewardship position advertised nationally. What other kinds of positions are out there, and are they all pharmacists?
We're seeing more and more of these positions. Typically, they are pharmacists. The titles vary. You'll see drug shortage specialists, inventory managers, strategic sourcing. The titles will vary. Typically, it is always a pharmacist. Historically, institutions, the way that they handle drug shortages, there was an ad hoc group that would come together when a shortage was identified. They would address it, handle it, it would disperse, and then the next time another shortage came up, that group would form ad hoc and make those decisions that were needed. The next step that we saw nationally was drug shortage groups or committees being formed. These groups were established with stakeholders. They would meet weekly, sometimes more if needed, depending on whatever was occurring nationally. From there, those groups were led by either an inventory manager, a drug information pharmacist, or a med safety pharmacist were the big three that we would see the most often. But there wasn't a specified drug shortage pharmacist. What we've been seeing nationally shifting, and Michigan was certainly ahead of the curve, was hiring for a dedicated drug shortage position. From there, they're building out teams of specialized individuals, oftentimes buyers are at the front lines of this, who are the most astute and most in tune with drug shortages. It's been really exciting to see this evolve. Really, in the last 5 years, we've seen a lot of changes. Most of that was due to the pandemic, understanding where our holes were in our drug shortage management, and hospitals and health systems are now moving resources into these gaps that we've identified to better handle our drug shortages. It sounds like Michigan is doing it as well, but the forecasting aspect. So what are early indicators of a shortage coming around the corner? What sort of software tools are available? What is at our fingertips to help us identify issues in the supply chain before they even lead to a shortage? And I think we're going to see see a lot of development and a lot of new standards within the next couple of years because of that.
With the initial shortage management, where a shortage would come about, ad hoc group would come together, manage it, and then disperse, what we started to notice was we would handle the shortage and then we would put it on the back burner. That same shortage would come back maybe a month, maybe two later, and we'd be handling the exact same thing. And what's helped us a lot, and something that Kyle brought up, these buyers that we have on our team that are experts in how wholesalers work, how procurement works, what we ended up noticing was we would have a shortage in the beginning, we would buy up supply, and then we would have no procurement history for a month, maybe two, after we put a mitigation strategy in place, because we would have an elevated inventory, but also decreased usage. Our 1 month supply would be lasting 3 or 4 months. We wouldn't have any for a long time, or we wouldn't buy any for a long time. And then once it was time to buy again, we wouldn't have any options available because we would have no purchase history. Our allocations would be set to zero. We would be in a worse situation than we were in the very beginning. I'm lucky enough to have a great team that recognized that early and said, we need to be more proactive about this and be more responsible about how we buy things, make sure that we're not buying a lot initially. And that's really where that ethical cap came from. But also, we came up with a shortage maintenance rule. When things are short, but they're not urgent, we have a dedicated buyer for those things. They're just slowly topping off our inventory as we go, little by little, to make sure that we have a procurement trend. And that way, when the shortage eventually either resolves or it gets worse, we have some sort of procurement data to look back on to show our wholesaler, like, hey, this is what our allocation should be. And we're not just stuck with nothing. There are multiple avenues on how to take a proactive approach. One could be forecasting the shortage as a whole. Others could be how to manage the shortage once it comes to be, and how to proactively manage your future procurement and your supply streams.
It's definitely heartening to hear that these roles are starting to become more commonplace. It's unfortunate that they're needed, but I appreciate you sharing with me some of the nuances, how they are continuing to progress and improve as we learn more about some of the complexities of drug shortages. With these specialized roles, what sorts of concepts and solutions are coming out of this space or coming to market?
Drug shortage stewardship and protective purchasing are really the two novel and new concepts or solutions that we're focusing on here at Vizient. Drug shortage stewardship is defined as the implementation of strategies, including inventory and mitigation practices, to limit the severity of a shortage at the national level by reducing the utilization of the affected drug at the local level. At your specific organization, drug shortage stewardship can look like enhancement or formation of a drug shortage committee. It can be the acute implementation of mitigation strategies, regardless of impact at your facility. It can also be avoidance of protective purchasing. Lastly, utilizing those regional networks, ensuring that there is access to medications across your community outside of just your specific facility, including those surrounding area hospitals as well. If shortages trigger extraordinary demand for the product, the supply chain cannot function or meet the needs of the hospitals and health systems. Focusing on how do we manage demand locally to allow for supply to recover nationally.
And for anyone that's interested in learning more about drug shortage stewardship, Kyle and I did publish a blog on that, and I'll link to that in the show notes.
Thanks, Gretchen. The second concept I wanted to touch on is protective purchasing. We've heard these terms, hoarding, anticipatory purchasing, and panic buying when it comes to drug shortages. In the current climate, with lack of transparency and so many shortages occurring, we really want to redefine what that is and make the case for protective purchasing. Protective purchasing is when hospitals and health systems purchase more, and more being more than the average daily usage of a product on shortage or expected to be, in order to ensure patients can be treated with the affected product. There is a way to appropriately protective purchase versus inappropriately protective purchase. It is unique to each hospital, to each health system, and needs to be evaluated under those principles of drug shortage stewardship and how to appropriately protective purchase.
You bring up a lot of really good points with the drug shortage stewardship on how we can all do our part to make sure that we're all pulling in the same direction and look out for the health of the country as a whole. And that played into the design of the ethical cap. And it's a new concept that we are rolling out at U of M, and we've been doing it for the past year. The purpose behind it is to avoid hoarding or panic buying. It's going to put yourself in a great position, but then it's going to directly negatively impact at least the surrounding hospitals, if not a further reach. What we do is we want to make sure that our inventory levels are somewhere between 14 to 21 days. Our more high priority medications, our baseline inventory is set at 21. Our lesser priority medications, our baseline inventory is somewhere between 10 to 14 days. Chemotherapy is a good example of things that we typically keep 21 days on hand. That is not a market disruptor. But if something with a very high priority comes on short, we will elevate it to 30 days. If it's something that is a 14-day typical carry level, we will elevate that to 21 days. Not only are we just having a flat cap of 30 across the board, we like to take the percentage and fraction into account too. Those are the ethical guardrails that we try to abide by. The reason that we do that is we're just trying to look out for not only ourselves, but also the overall supply of our neighboring hospitals to make sure that their patients are taken care of too.
These are really important concepts, and I think it's critical we continue to raise them up to the national stage to have the most impact. We've been at this for decades, and it's very clear to me that we have to take a different approach. Where do you see the future for these types of roles in drug shortages?
This is going to become the norm, not the exception. Roles like this, you're going to continue to see positions opening for them at various institutions that may not have had them in the past. Thinking about it, there's an industry being built around shortages. There are various prediction tools, early indicators, quality assessment of manufacturers, and shortage management softwares.
Kyle really hit the nail on the head. Shortage management will become more of a comprehensive system for all health systems, not only academic medical centers, but smaller local hospitals as well. And the next step to it are the predictive tools, shortage management software. We're eventually going to get to the point where hospitals, health systems are on equal playing field. I believe it's important that we all work as one to navigate these shortages. What Kyle said earlier about drug shortage stewardship, once the ethical caps are in place, purchasing guardrails are in place, everybody has the same warning of when a shortage is going to hit. Working together to make sure that we all lower our usage by the same amount and have equal impact across hospitals is going to reduce the strain to all hospitals as well. Because if we have something that reduces overall supply by 10%, it seems like a small amount, but that 10% is distributed very differently across hospitals.
You both live this day in and day out. So any advice for people who want to get into this specialty?
This will seem like a cop-out because there's no one way to get into this field. Everybody who has gotten into this field has taken a very unique path. The backgrounds that I think benefit your functioning within this field are having a clinical background, the PGY1, having the emergency medicine, the critical care, the internal medicine background, understanding hospital operations, because that is how over half of our shortages are managed. It's tweaking pharmacy operations so that way it doesn't impact our nurses, physicians, patients, having these different projects, having these leadership opportunities, because at the core of drug shortage management, you're trying to get everybody onto the same page for the solution that either you've come up with or that your stakeholders have come up with. And you need buy-in from everybody else to have a very coordinated, organized effort for rollout in that field as well.
Nationally, we see drug shortage pharmacists or inventory shortage management folks from a variety of diverse backgrounds. Austin's background is critical care, mine's drug information. I've met several that were clinical pharmacists as well, others that were retail pharmacists. So there really is no distinct path, all diverse backgrounds. What it really comes down to is just a passion for shortages. This role is project management and leadership. You are facilitating communication amongst the hospital, multiple stakeholders, working well with people, understanding what needs to be done potentially before it's occurring, fine-tuning your processes on a daily basis, and enjoying the uncertainty of drug shortages. There is a lot of stress, there's a lot of emotion associated with drug shortages, and just being up for a challenge like that will make you a great component of a drug shortage team.
Also, managing stress is a good tool to have in this position.
What are the chances we'll eventually see a PGY2 specialty in this field?
It's not out of scope or out of the realm. There's so much impact to a hospital health system and to patients. There's a labor inventory, mental health stress, as well as a patient safety cost associated. As we evolve in our management of drug shortages, with these roles becoming more standard and ubiquitous across the nation, it's certainly a unique residency that could really prepare and focus folks for success in a role such as this.
It's a very easy position to justify based off of the return on investment. And you really do have to be a jack of all trades, yet a master of none. You have a mastering of supply chain and all the indicators that you're looking for, but you have to have your hands in so many different departments, not only pharmacy, but OR, anesthesia, fusion, outpatient. You have to understand how so many different departments operate. Well, I could see how you could have a full year with rotations at all of those different departments, seeing how they operate, seeing how a drug shortage would impact that department. Then at the end, being able to bring all those different skills together to lead a drug shortage mitigation strategy across an entire institution.
Well, Michigan Medicine has clearly been a leader in this arena, so maybe we'll see the first PGY2 coming out of your organization.
I would definitely welcome the idea, Gretchen. I think that's something I'll start bringing up to our leadership too.
Austin and Kyle, thank you so much for joining us today to share your thoughts and insights. It's been wonderful having you on.
Thank you so much for having me, Gretchen.
Thanks, Gretchen.
Please join us for more Verified Rx podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, and send us your comments. We'd love to hear from you. Verified Rx is your prescription for success and is brought to you by the Vizient Center for Pharmacy Practice Excellence. I'm Gretchen Brummel. Thanks for listening.